Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Football Talk from the Yorkshire Post, where we'll be discussing some of the latest talking points from the world of football with members of our football writing team. On this week's episode, we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Leon Wobshall, to discuss all of the latest developments affecting our local clubs. Don't forget you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging onto our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com, as well as checking out our various Twitter feeds, the main one being at @YPSport. If you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. And if you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as footballtalkpodcast@yp.sport@nationalworld.com.
yorkshirepost.co.uk.
As mentioned earlier in the intro, this week we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Leon Wobshall. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Right, now this week the majority of league action gave way to international fixtures, however we still have a number of topics to discuss, so let's start with the Yorkshire clash between Harrogate Town and Bradford City, which saw Harrogate Town claim all 3 points on offer, which brought their 8-game winless run to an end. However, from Bradford City's point of view, this was the 4th successive defeat for Graham Alexander's side. Now, we spoke about Bradford City's troubles last week, but they just seem to keep on coming at the moment. What did you make of the game, and how valuable could this be for Simon Weaver's side, Leon?
Yeah, I think I put in my match report, Mark, it's a bit of a perfect storm as far as Bradford City are concerned, and there was enough weather conditions on the day that was that sort of added to Bradford's problems, really, but it was the same for both teams. It was a really stiff, horrible wind. Harrogate had it in the faces in the first half, and they dealt with it considerably better than Bradford did in the second. Yeah, there's a lot of things. They've just hit a real worrying run of form, Bradford, and there's just a lot of things to contend with. There's injuries, there's poor form. There's obviously, if you're going back to Valley Parade, there's the state of the pitch, the mood music with the fans. There was a lot of the ones that I think there's a certain amount of apathy, but I think there's for some of them as well. There's quite a lot of anger brewing in the direction of not necessarily Graham Alexander, but the hierarchy at Bradford, in Stephen Root, the owner, and Chief Executive Officer Ryan Sparks. It's like another, you know, the 6th season in League Two next season. It's not looking good. There's a lot of other issues as well. You know, you can point at recruitment's not been terrific. They look like they've got some players coming towards the end. They've got some young players who may be not quite ready as well. And then there's other issues as well. You've got to throw into the pot. You know, they're paying a hell of a lot of rent on the ground at Valley Parade. They're paying money on the training ground. So there's the financial aspect, and the owner clearly wants out as well. But in the here and now, they've just got to try and find a bit of rhythm and confidence, and that's not going to be easy. Alex Gilliard was the latest injury, who didn't play at the weekend, and from what we can gather, there's one or two issues as well ahead of Easter, and he'll play Tranmere on Good Friday. There's got sounds like there's going to be some protests from sections of supporters. So yeah, it's just a bit of a perfect storm. They were dreadful on the pitch in the second half. It just seems to be with Bradford at the minute. As soon as they let a first goal in, then I wouldn't say it's sort of white flags and they're not trying. I think the efforts there, they certainly didn't down tools on Saturday, but there's a real hemorrhaging of confidence there, both going forward and in defence.
Yeah. Yeah, there just seems to me to be just a lack of belief at times. You know, once Graham Alexander got his feet under the table, we saw what they were capable of. They had a good run, then tailed off, then another good run. But it just seems like when it gets to the real crunch periods, there's a real lack of belief in this group. And I don't just mean the players, I mean the support, but it's the whole club, that they could just get it on the line. You know, there's many a time over the last few years where they've really teased us, and we've looked at the league table and we said, oh, if they could just win the next 2 or 3 games, you know, they'll really be in the picture, but they always seem to be just outside. Exactly. That's the point, Leon. It's not something we're talking about just about this season. It seems to be a sort of deep rooted psychology around the club, and you do feel like, you know, the size of that club and the advantages they've got, that if somebody can get the ball rolling, then, you know, they could really do something special. But, you know, we've seen, obviously, Graeme Alexander's got a great managerial record. You know, we've seen others who've come in and performed at that level as managers, and they've not been able to do it. We've seen them go down different routes. It's a real conundrum to crack. And as Leon's already alluded to, there's lots of elements to it that need looking at. I mean, you know, you mentioned the injuries, and to be honest, I wouldn't lay it on too thick about the injuries, because we've seen injuries so many across the board for all football clubs this season. It's something I think, you know, really from the top down needs to be looked at. But nevertheless, you know, when you talk about the state of the pitch and the state of the training facilities, you do have to ask how much they're contributing to these injuries and making an already difficult job harder. So there's a lot of soul searching to be done. And I say this isn't just a Bradford point, but it's really difficult at any football club to sort of address those underlying issues when you've got an owner who doesn't really want to be there. You need that energy, that enthusiasm and that money of somebody who wants to come in and do it. And, you know, you only need to look at, you know, clubs like Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday, the owner wants to be there, I suppose. It's others who don't. But these clubs where you've got a reluctant owner, it is really difficult to get beyond that and achieve your potential.
I just hope for Bradford's sake, Stuart, and Graeme Alexander as well. I mean, I think he's a capable manager. He speaks extremely well. He's, you know, he speaks good sense. He's been around the block. Obviously lost 4 games in a row. I mean, the situation in football now, you know, any manager that sort of lose 4 or 5 in a row, but, you know, supporters are calling for his head on social media and this, that and the other. But I think he's the least of Bradford's problems, really. You know, they you know, you've got to factor in as well, he's not, you know, he came mid-season, he's not had a pre-season to work with, he's not had the, you know, the time to sort of really forge his squad and in his own sort of identity and ethos. So, you know, modern football, you know, it's full of these scenarios where, you know, a manager loses a few and then all of a sudden call him to the head. But I just do not see, you know, scratching my head if that happens, you know, for Bradford. So I just hope it can, you know, calm down a little bit. They can somehow manage to drag out a few results between now and the end of the season and finish with a little bit of a positivity. Because I think as much as everything else, there's going to be quite a few ins and outs again at Bradford, which is probably part of the problem, really, isn't it? There always seem to be a lot of players leaving at the end of the season, and then having to, you know, bring others in as well. And there's quite a few out of contract, and there's work to do for Alexander. But I just don't see the sense in, you know, in changing managers in the summer. That, you know, they've clocked up far too many managers in recent seasons, Bradford, and that's part of the problem as well, isn't it, amongst quite a few other things.
Absolutely, and I say, as you say, so many managers over the last 7 or 8 years, the same problems occurring. It tells you the manager is not the biggest problem. I mean, that's not to give a manager a blank check, but as you say, they've had managers who've done it at this level, and Alexander's one of them. They've gone down the young managers route. They've gone down the big name managers route. There are more fundamental problems there, and I think the fans recognise that, which is why the anger is more directed against Stephen Rupp and Ryan Stark, Sparks, than it is against the rest. But I just think as well. Sorry, Dan. Go on.
No, I was just going to get all the doom and gloom, and just, you know, it's fair to say, you know, a good Saturday for Harrogate for once. We know they've had some toils at home in front of the home supporters. I think they're away record. Is it something like the second or third best in the division? But the home form's right. You know, it's pretty much towards the bottom, isn't it? So, a good day for them. They obviously, the big Doncaster, didn't they? Another Yorkshire club earlier in the season. So, they've had some good moments against Yorkshire teams, and they tend to do well against Harrogate. And, they've got a good chance of being... I know Doncaster are having a great run at the minute, but you know, Harrogate are the top dogs in Yorkshire at the minute. It's not mathematically impossible for them to sort of, if they have an absolutely steaming run, to somehow nick 7th place. But I think it's very unlikely, but they can have a little bit of fun, can't they? They've had a couple of good results away. They drew at Wrexham and Barrow. And they backed it up with a big win on Derby Day. Record crowd as well. They were just under 4,000 there. And there were some good contributions on the pitch. Most notably, it probably added to the issues for Bradford, really. It's odds law that a few of the best players in Harrogate jerseys used to play for Harrogate. I think Levi Sutton, for me, was the best player on the pitch. And Anthony O'Connor wasn't far behind. So, yeah, they can look forward to a nice end to the season, hopefully, Harrogate. And I think in the round, it's been a pretty good season for them. They've had a few ups and downs, but I think it's been a decent season, all things considered.
Yeah, it feels like they're making progress. Now, I think that attendance number is significant as well, because that's one thing they need to do to build up their fan base. You know, and if we talk about Bradford should be doing better for the, you know, for the support they've got and the history, well, obviously Harrogate don't have those advantages. So for them to be moving forward is really good to see. And I say sometimes often when a big club loses to a, you know, a club of lesser stature, we kind of ignore the achievement of the smaller club. And, you know, it's important that we do praise Harrogate for what's been a really good season for them.
Yeah, it's a club comfortable in its own skin, isn't it, Stuart? And they've got it's been about managers with longevity. They've got, you know, they've got the longest serving manager in the Football League, and it's a well run club, and it's been a good story for a few years now.
Yeah, and you know, as you rightly pointed out with regards to Graeme Alexander, there's been runs which Simon Weaver's had as manager, which had he been Bradford manager, he undoubtedly would have been sacked for. So that patience really is a virtue for Harrogate.
And next, I wanted to turn our focus to Hull City, who have been away for a spot of warm weather training during the international break. Now, Stuart, you were with Hull City at the training camp, and I wanted to ask you, based on their recent run of form and from what you've seen whilst being over there, do you see them continuing their push for the playoffs strongly this season?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's going to be tight. 3-point gap to a Norwich team who in decent form, and with Norwich's goal difference, it's effectively 4. Hull have got a game in hand in that. So there's not much in it either way. And there's definitely still issues for Hull to iron out. They're missing Liam Delap, and not just Liam Delap, but the presence of a real orthodox number 9, I think, is significant for them. Other people haven't really taken their chances, but they're hopeful Delap will be back in the middle of April, and that should give them a big psychological boost as much as anything. But certainly from what I saw last week out in Turkey, they've used the break really well. It wasn't sort of a full throttle, flog them into the ground training camp by any stretch of the imagination. It was much about team bonding and that sort of thing, but also bonding with the supporters. I mean, they took 100 fans out, really treated them well, really felt as one club, and I think that's going to be important. You know, they're hoping to sell out the last 4 games of the season, which, let's be honest, has been pretty rare in Hull's recent history to be filling the ground. And just the positivity they're generating around the place could make a real difference in the home games. They need to get them over the line, because they're another club who've sort of caught the eye more away from home than at home this season. So anything that can just make the difference is important. But they feel like a club in a good place. They feel like a club trying to do things the right way. I mean, they are throwing a lot of money about after it, which is, you know, obviously a big talking point with financial fair play, but they do seem to be doing it in a way to bring the supporters on board, you know, to try and play what they see as the right type of football and that sort of thing. So I think they're in a good way. And I think they'll come back from this international break, you know, refreshed and in a good mindset. And they'll need to be, because, you know, they come back with 2 big games straight away. You know, they're playing a Stoke team in the relegation zone, and then they're at Elland Road. And, you know, we talked enough times on this podcast about how difficult that is. And as I say, with those small margins, it's not just Norwich. They've got Coventry and Preston very close behind as well. They'll need to be on it in the last games of the season. But I think they'll go into it with a bit of confidence and a bit of positivity.
They've got some great games, Hull, haven't they? You know, like you said, Stuart, they've got that Coventry game, which is huge, doesn't it? At the end of towards the end of April.
Yeah.
Leeds as well, who Hull City supporters. I suppose if they're going to pick a club that they'd like to be, it'd probably be Leeds for most of them, and you know, Preston as well. That's a fair shot. They've got Ipswich as well, haven't they? I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And then at the other end, they're going to have a lot of support from rival Yorkshire clubs, aren't they? I had a look the other day, and what they got, Plymouth, QPR, and someone else.
Stoke on Good Friday.
Stoke, of course, yeah. Yes. Well, they'll have a lot of support there, but yeah, I mean, it's all there for them, isn't it? And they're going to have to be wary of Norwich. But yeah, as we've said a few times on this podcast, you know, this time last year they were just sort of playing out the season, really, weren't they? And you know, to be fair to Messina, he'd sort of done the first job that he was brought in to do in steadying the ship and keeping the club up. But you know, there wasn't really much on a lot of the games. But you know, total contrast this time. There's a real vibe there, and and you know, the people of Hull are buying into it, and it's, you know, it's a rewind to better times for the club.
Absolutely, and I say it's just good to see after there was. You know, we know how difficult things were the longer the Adams family's, you know, time went on, and how disenchanted people got with things. You know, it was great to see fans out there just loving watching open training and mingling with the players. And of course, they'll go back home and tell their other mates, you know, what's going on at that football club. When we sort of contrast it to the disenchantment of places like Bradford, it's really good to see a club just vibrant and going places, and you know, hopefully, I say don't want to be the doom monger, but the margins are so tight. Hopefully, if they do miss out in the playoffs, there is something there to build on for future, and this isn't just a one hit shot at a promotion, because you know they've got a young squad, they've got a young manager, they've got an owner who genuinely seems, you know, really committed to things, and wherever they are next season, you feel like the mindset and the planning around the club, they should be able to progress from there.
Yeah. I think a quick one with supporters as well, especially with this Easter in mind, is if you do have a bump, don't panic too much. You know, it's could be one of those. I mean, I'd expect Hull to beat Stoke, but say they do something like that, you just got to. It's about keeping calm and not panicking. I think that applies for quite a few, you know, Yorkshire teams. We've got a few in the mix, you know, towards the top ends of the division and also at the bottom. So yeah, just keep calm if needs be as well.
And as you rightly said earlier, it's the context as well, Leon, isn't it? Enjoy it, because when you think what the last couple of seasons have been like, you know, to just be in contention for this, you know, not just for Hull, for clubs like Ipswich. When you look at the parachute payments of some of the other clubs, you know, It is going to be difficult to get promotion out of the Championship without a parachute payment. So just to be in that, you know, in that company is a big achievement. But of course, once you get to this stage, you don't want to just settle for that. You want to keep going.
Yeah,
it's easy. I think they've only been in a couple of years as well at Hull, haven't they? So it's not been long at all.
No. And next on the list, we turn to Sheffield United. And I think the main question that we should be asking ourselves when it comes to the Blades is, where do they go next season following this campaign in the Premier League? Now, I also gather that you had a chat with the CEO of the club, Stephen Bettis. Did he give an indication of where the club is looking to strengthen or improve next season, Leon?
Yeah, no, not too much. It was good to speak with him. He did. I mean, I think there's a natural fallout from relegation. There's going to be, obviously, the lone players, but there's going to be one or two players who go. They've protected themselves with the... You know, the players have got relegation clauses, and there's one or two other deals as well. I think Villa have got a buyback on Cameron Archer. You know, they're gonna get relegated, Sheffield United, so they'll buy him back a cut price fee. But yeah, he spoke reasonably positively, really. You know, he did allude to the, you know, the sort of developments off the field. There's obviously they've in the process of buying a training ground at Door, although it'll be a couple of seasons before they get in there. I think they've exchanged contracts, but there's a few planning permission issues, so they're looking at a couple of seasons down the line there. So that's a positive in terms of off the field, because we know that, you know, the training ground have been an issue at Sheffield United. But I think there was a reasonable amount of positivity. They've obviously announced a decent loss in the financial accounts, about 30 million. But I suppose that doesn't factor in that they've obviously got the sales of Bergen, who's the other one? So that will hopefully, you know, put a different skew on it next season. But yeah, there'll be a few players that leave, but he was talking about having a balance between, they've got some, you know, good young players coming through who, you know, get some wool on the backs in the Championship and giving them the stage in, you know, in Asula and possibly Arblaster. And they're in the process of speaking to Daniel Jebison, who's had an awful time with illness and injury this season, you know, getting him wrapped up to a new deal. And I think there'll be some funds there for Chris Wilder, but I think he will have to wheel and deal a little bit. You know, Betis was speaking about having different budgets for, you know, if they don't go up next season, if they do. He didn't seem to suggest that there's an act, you know, there's that they have to go up next season as such. But, you know, I think that there was confidence on his part that you know, that they should have a chance of being competitive and finishing in the top six area. So we'll have to wait and see on that count.
Yeah, I think we preach a lot, and we have today, about the virtues of stability. But I think in the case of Sheffield United, in terms of the playing squad, I do think it needs ripping up and starting again to an extent, because if you look at the squad that Paul Heckingbottom brought up last season, it still felt too heavily reliant on that core of players who had taken the team to ninth under Chris Wilder. And it just feels like a lack of investment and a lack of refreshing that squad has just caught up with them. I mean, I found it quite interesting. I spoke to Neil Collins, former Sheffield United player, a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, you can essentially go down the route of a Leicester and basically keep your squad together when you get relegated, or you can start again. And his phrase was, "I feel there's too many players who've climbed the mountain," and what they actually needed was hunger. But I think within that, they do need the stability of keeping the manager. Because he knows the club, he's had a good few months to sort of get another view of what's beneath the surface in terms of those young players Leon was talking about and more to come. And I think they're going to be what this rebuild is based on. And because of that process, I think it might take a couple of years to do that. I think, you know, it could be difficult for Sheffield United if we were to have Leeds, Leicester and Southampton all go up this season. There could be a lot of expectation on the three teams to go down to bounce back straight away. But every circumstance is different. And with Sheffield United's rebuild, yes, it's possible that they might be able to get up in the space of that 1 year of it. But it might take a bit more time. I just think they have to be patient. But I say, for me, it's really key that they keep the manager on board. And with that in mind, you know, when you think of their recent home performances the last couple of months, they can't afford to be backed into a corner by performances and results where they even have a decision to make over Chris Wilder. Because I do think it's really important they're not starting again with a new manager as well. But again, as Leon alluded to earlier, sometimes, you know, a bad run of results can just really bring in intolerable amounts of pressure. So hopefully they can avoid that. Some better, you know, some home performances that fans can actually take some pride in between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, he spoke with good sense, Stephen Bettis, about Chris Wilder, and I sort of got his point. He did harken back to when Wilder first came and came to Bramall Lane. I think it was, what was it, 2016, and probably a similar scenario where, you know, a team needing to be a squad needing to be overhauled. A lot of players coming to the end, and you know, rebuilding it. And it's similar to it's sort of marked to a little bit in that regard, isn't it? You know, there will be players leaving, and you know, he has got one or two young academy players, but you know, he knows the market. The transfer market is extremely well in the EFL. Chris Wilder, they're obviously going to bring in another head of recruitment. They're not going to bother with, you know, the sporting director going down that route. Bringing in another recruitment supremo with Paul Mitchell leaving, and from the sound of it, Wilder will have a bit of an impact, an input in that, in terms of, you know, interviewing candidates. And yeah, hopefully they're on the same page in that regard, because recruitment has been a little bit scratchy, hasn't it, at Sheffield United for the last the last few years. But yeah, I agree with Stuart. I think they're in good hands. They need somebody who you know, knows the club and who's maybe been in this situation before, which Chris has. You know, I don't see the point in just going for a total revolution and bringing somebody. Somebody in from the outside. I mean, they did that with Jukanovic, didn't they, a few years ago when they went down? It just didn't work at all. So, yeah, they've got a safe hand on the tiller. Yeah, they might take a little bit of pain, as Stuart said, more pain between now and the end of the season. But you know, in the broadest scheme of things, you know, we talk about Alexander at Bradford needing to build a side in his own image, and you know, Wilder he'll know that one cycle of players is coming to the end at Sheffield United, and it's about you know, a big rebuild, and you know, and he's shown himself capable in that regard before.
And finally for this week, I wanted us to have a look at the upcoming Easter programmes for our Yorkshire sides. Are there any fixtures that jump out at you both in particular, seeing as this could be a very crucial point in the season, Leon?
Oh, let's have a look. There's one or two. There's a big one that doesn't involve Yorkshire teams that caught my eye on Easter Monday. I don't know if it did with Stuart. Ipswich Southampton. I think that's a real standout for me. I mean, there's some big ones on Easter Monday. Stuart mentioned Hull against Stoke, and you know, as much as Hull will be wanting to win that, they'll be having plenty of support from Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday. Well, I think an interesting dynamic is, and I think it will play, especially at the top end of the Championship, you know, the order of play, if you like. You know,
yeah.
I had a little bit of a look on Good Friday, and I think, is it Leicester go first at 12:30? It might be Ipswich, I'm not entirely sure, but I think there's games at 12:33, something like 5:30, then Leeds. They go into bat right at the end against Watford, and it's a little bit similar on Easter Monday. Obviously, Ipswich play Southampton. I think that's the tea time game.
And yeah, Leicester Norwich to kick the day off as well, isn't it?
You know what it is. Yeah, and I think it's one of those. I think that there's once or twice that Leeds are going to have to go last, haven't they? I think they've got the middle of the game as well. There's another one, if memory serves, the play. Is it Blackburn at home or Coventry at home? And then they go on the 12:30 kickoff on.
Yeah, it's Blackburn. Yeah,
so that's going to be fascinating. All that. I mean, that's the psychology within that.
Yeah,
who can handle the pressure if there's a bad result, a good result, then you're going out to play. It was pretty similar when I remember when Sheffield United and Leeds were going for it a few years ago. I remember doing I think I was at Sheffield United and. I think they played Millwall, and Millwall equalised right at the end. It was a 3 o'clock kickoff, and you know, there was huge, you know, on social media there was, you know, huge mileage at the Leeds. And when that happened, I think I put a tweet out, and it had God knows how many likes, I suppose. But and then Leeds, I think Leeds beat. I think they won the next game. So there's all that, and that's part of it at this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I made a big deal of Leeds going top in right before the international break. Well, with Leicester kicking off first, any result for Leicester at Bristol City, they'll be back top of the table. But if Leicester were to only draw, you know, that that gives some encouragement. You know, Leon's right to point out that Ipswich Southampton game coming before Leeds play Hull. All of these results will affect the mood of the other teams, and it's about, you know, if you're Leeds or Hull, it's about putting pressure on the other teams. If they're getting results, it's about blocking it out and just going out and playing your game, because all the managers will say, well, it makes no difference. We play 46 games, you know, it doesn't matter if we go first or second, but it really does. You can, it's not just the players, you know, it's the mood in the stadium, isn't it? If Leeds kick off at 8 o'clock on Easter Monday, knowing that they need a certain result to stay in the top two, Ellen Road's going to be really nervous. You know, if they go in knowing that come what may, they're going to be top of the table, Ellen Road's going to be absolutely bouncing, you know, and the same goes for the MKM and Portman Road and all of these places. Everybody's going to be looking, what did Norwich do? What did Coventry do? What did Ipswich do? What did Leicester do? It's part of the nature of it. And as Leon points out, you know, in recent years, the television has made such a big impact with all these staggered kickoffs and you know, people having a game in hand here and a game in hand there. And, you know, we've got the added confusion this year with regards to the playoffs of Coventry's FA Cup run, sort of taking game fixture list and that whole game getting rearranged to late. So it should be fascinating. I mean, the thing about Easter, you know, playing Friday, Monday, when you think about it, it's only the same as playing Saturday, Tuesday, like they do all the time. But it just feels significant. And I don't know if it's an age thing. I don't know if it's more old timers like me and Leon. But Easter was just always such a big time in the calendar. You know, Christmas and Easter.
When you first start seeing some teams start to go down, don't they? And all that sort of
exactly. Thing. Yeah. And you know, the fact that we've had this 2 week, in some cases 3 week lead into it, has just built up the anticipation even more. And you know, I think if you're a team involved in something, whether that be relegation or promotion, I think whoever you're playing over Easter is just hugely significant. You know, the opposition aren't irrelevant, but there's nobody Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield can play. It's an unimportant game.
Yeah.
But because there's so many teams involved in something, you know, you look at like Huddersfield versus Coventry on Good Friday. Well, that really matters to Coventry as well. Trying to chase down Hull. I think there's just lots of. Lots of really fascinating games, and then you know, given what we were saying before, I think Bradford versus Tranmere is going to be really significant. It's going to have very little bearing on Bradford's season in terms of what division they're playing in next season, but just the mood of Valley Parade is going to be a real gauge, and you know, whether they can end this run and get a bit of positivity in the place, or whether this negativity snowball. So I think it's going to be a fascinating Easter weekend. They almost always are. And as I say, Leon mentioned that sort of classic one when Leeds and Sheffield United were chasing promotion and people were swapping places left, right and centre. You know, you look at how tight the top three particularly and the top four is when you factor in Southampton's games. There's going to be a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of, I think, you know, the last Sunday before the international, the last weekend before the international break, Leeds at some point were third, second and first in the table. And it'll probably be like that on Good Friday, probably be like that on Easter Monday. And it'll be the same for Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday, in the relegation zone one moment, out of the relegation zone another. So as Leon says, it's about holding your nerve and not getting too...
There's just loads of subplots to it, isn't there?
Exactly.
You know, people... I suppose, you know, if you're a Leeds supporter looking at Southampton, you'll think, well, they've got to go to Leeds, they've got to go to Ipswich, they've got to go to Leicester. But I had a little look the other day, I did a piece, but they've got three home games on the trot, haven't they, Southampton? It's something like around the middle of April. So, you know, it's one of those, isn't it? It looks bad going, you know, having to go to the three contenders away. But, you know, Southampton, that's why I wouldn't say that they're totally out of it, Southampton, because if they can win three of those home games on the spin, you know, when they've obviously got the games in hand, they could be back in it. But yeah, just subplots everywhere. I mean, a huge game that I think you'll be going to on Monday, isn't it? Is it Stoke against Huddersfield? That looks.
Yeah.
I look at Huddersfield's running, and it's a bit of a foolish thing to do, I suppose. I should know better, really. But it doesn't look too bad, but it just looks three games for me leap out. They've obviously, it's not necessarily going to Ipswich on the last day because, you know, hopefully Ipswich might be settled for the playoffs and then Leeds have nipped in, but who knows? But they've got Stoke away, they've got Millwall at home, and then they've got Birmingham at home. They're three huge, huge games for Huddersfield. I know a lot of people were talking about the Rotherham game. I probably mentioned that before. My theory was, I could be wrong, that I just think Brighton might have thought with ten men, we just can't lose this game. Maybe he played them a little bit too much respect, but I sort of got it in a way. I think if Huddersfield had lost that, they'd have really struggled to get over that. But yeah, that's an intriguing one. And I think Sheffield Wednesday as well. I think they've got to play. Top of my head, is it Stoke, QPR, and Blackburn as well? So their Easter doesn't look too bad, but it looks a little bit of calm before the storm, doesn't it? Swansea and Middles, but they're not too bad games, I would say. This time of year, but then they've got three huge games, haven't they, there, Wednesday. But the interesting one for me down there is Blackburn. I had a little look, and I think they've got to play the top four, and they've got to play Coventry, so I think they've got eight games left. Four of them against the top four, and then against another team who were going for motion as well, so... But God, it's so fascinating, isn't it? The bottom of that division. I think that is it. 5 points separate eight teams.
Yeah.
And it could be one of those. Even with Easter, if Swansea have a bad Easter, or even Sunderland, or
yeah,
you could in theory get a couple more. Yeah. As daft as it sounds, but I think most of them at the bottom will be thinking, oof, if should, I think probably 50-51, but.
I think that's the thing. You know, Daniel Farke always talks about points rather than, and I think you've got to look at that bigger picture. But it's just human nature. You just look at the fixture list, and if you look at, you know, for example, you mentioned Southampton going to Ipswich, and you look at that and you think, as a Leeds fan, oh, that's a real good opportunity. Southampton are bound to drop points there, and then they win. Yeah. It's an absolute killer, isn't it? If you look at it as a Huddersfield fan, and you've got Birmingham. Markdown, that's a game we've got to win, and then you don't get something from it. That's a real blow. But then there'll be other games where you've just got no right to expect a point. You know, Blackburn could well go to one of those top four teams, and because of the pressure they're under, you know, you could get some. It's so hard to second guess, but we all try to, and that's part of the fascination and the psychology of it. If you're not involved. It's really good fun to watch from afar. If you're involved in it, obviously it's absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. I think another big one, just quickly on League One, and Barnsley have got on paper again. It's a horrible phrase, that, isn't it? They've got Cambridge and who's the other one? Burton, two struggling sides against relegation. The big game, mentioned Ipswich against Southampton. Big game in League One on, I think it's Tuesday. I think it's Derby play Portsmouth, so that's going to be another interesting one. There's quite a few sort of matchups at the top as well. I think one or two of the teams are still got to play each other. So yeah, it's unlikely that Barnsley are going to get gatecrash second place, but it's still just about, you know, if they get 6 points this Easter. But yeah, we'll have to see and reconvene next week.
Yeah. Anyone who gets 6 points this Easter would be able to whatever end it just builds a real momentum, and likewise anyone who gets no points, you know, it can really have you nervous. So as I say, it's no different to a normal week, really, Friday, Monday, but it just feels different because it's a long weekend. You know, obviously we'll have afternoon kickoffs in a lot of cases anyway, when TV don't interfere, afternoon kickoffs with big crowds as well. It's a really big deal, and because of this international break, it will really feel as though it's set you up.
YorkshirePost.co.uk.
Many thanks to Stuart Rayner and Leon Wobshall, who will doubtless join us again soon for more discussions on the Yorkshire football scene. But don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging on to our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com, or if you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. If you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as footballtalkpodcast@yp.sport@nationalworld.com. As ever, many thanks for listening. Look after yourselves, and bye for now.